Oh, it's 8 o'clock Thursday night. This must be Kayak Fishing Radio, and I'm Chip Gibson, a tree hugger. Welcome aboard. We're just back from the Virginia Beach Boondoggle weekend this past weekend. This first show after post Boondoggle. Had to go back to work today, and man, my fun meter is in the yellow zone, man. So totally from big smile on my face to yellow zone fun right now. So, but hey, that's what work's all about. It's not there to make you smile unless you're like one of these guys who fishes for a living. But anyways, joining me here in the Buzzards Row, it's my good buddy Rob DeVore, the Bad Back Cast. And there you are. Hey, Rob, how are you tonight?
Yo, I'm good. Glad to be here, man. It was an epic journey for sure for Boondoggle, man, and it was cool. And I like you, I had to go back to work today myself, and it was a total drag, man. I wish I could like Boondoggle 24/7, you know.
I know, right? Let's just create the Boondoggle industry, and that's all we're gonna do for the rest of our lives, just Boondoggle. So
that would be awesome.
You know, I mean, we'll give ourselves, you know, like a month so that so the, Matt is in the chat room. He's like, he had to go back to work on Monday.
Oh
yeah. So man. In the chat room, let me say hey to the folks in there. It's Hammerhead, Greg, Chris from our northeast point there in New Hampshire, Jim Van Pelt joining us from the other end of the world down in southwest Florida. Scuba Stan and Chuck Down and Yak Chum Matt Trucks. Good evening, folks. So, why is it that Firefox always wants to update right in the middle of the show? It's like, bam, big sign right in front of my face here. Wonderful. Yeah, Greg, G-R-E-G-G. So, anyways, yeah, we had a good time. Was had by all, I believe, the Boondoggle. If you haven't checked it out, yakangler.com, it's up now. Or just go Boondoggle, Yakangler Boondoggle on Google, and you should get the latest and greatest because they do post through Google News. But let's see what happens when we do that. Boondoggle. And I guess boondoggling is actually like stitching or something like that, you know?
It's some kind of macrame thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But anyways, let's see. Boondoggle, Yak Angler. And what do we get? Kayak Fishing Boondoggle, yakangler.com. Boondoggles, all the past ones. Second Annual Columbus Day Boondoggle. It's like the fourth thing on Google if you go Boondoggle, Yak Angler. I wonder, no, that's, nope, that's not it. But anyways, Yak Sushi put up a pretty cool, post today on, the Boondoggle, some pictures and stuff like that. Good time had by all. Good to see everybody up there. Finally put some, faces to names. Matt and the boys up there. There's Mr. Becker in the chat room. Good to see him. Let me go back over to my studio, see what's going on in there. But anyways, so it was a good time. Everybody's been talking about it. I think everybody's looking forward to. Now we've got the little shortcut, right? We spent all summer long going through the dregs of summer, waiting on the October Boondoggle. And now the February Boondoggle is upon us. It's only like 128 days, and we're there, right? So let's see. Thanks to our good friend over at Fishing Florida Radio, my friend Steve Chapman sent us this.
Boondoggle!
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle?
I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And there's... So we're going to be close to the... No, that's over on your side of the state there where they used to film Tarzan. But anyways. Yeah, so we're headed to Cars Park in February, February 15th through the 18th. We've got an invite up on Facebook. If you haven't seen the invite, then drop one of us a line. Try to friend somebody that has been to a boondoggle, and they'll forward the invite to you because we sent it out to like 100 and actually over 200 people have gotten the invite to go there. And I think last time I looked, what do we got up to right now? Oops. That's not what I want to see. We had 52 last night going to the boondoggle. Chris and them are over watching Chuck's lookalike at the conference or at the concert tonight. But let's see what we got. We got 60 committed to going. Yeah, it's going to be a zoo. 60 committed to going. Maybe 19 and 190 still on the invite list. And let's see how many people have declined. One person. Oh. But he's got a legit reason. So here's Aaron. We'll send him a confirmation and an invite to the boondoggle. So anyways, we're going to be at Cars Park. If you don't know where that's at, look on the south end of Merritt Island. It's right there in the NASA complex. And the area to the east of it, or the water that it sits on, is called the No Motor Zone. No Motor Zone. So we'll be there. And kayaks are most welcome. So there we have it. And ladies and gentlemen, a long time no see. Here we go. Long time since I heard that golden voice, man. Give me some.
Did you have to actually crack through the dust on the vault to get that that disc back out? That's amazing.
Blow the dust off of it, get it slid in there, waiting for you to show up, man. Good to hear you again, man. How you been?
I'm surprised the cart hasn't frozen up by now and it still runs. That's awesome.
So, are things kind of slowing down in your neck of the woods?
No, just getting different crazy. I'll fill you in offline. But hey, if life was easy, everybody'd be doing it, man. So
that's
as far
right,
as I'm
man.
Concerned, it's just picking up and putting down.
There you go. It's like running downhill. Just keep your feet in front of you.
Inhale, exhale.
If you trip, roll.
That's it.
So, anyways, I saw that you had accepted an invitation to join us or maybe join us over at the Boondoggle for February. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping to. Trying to figure out whether it's going to be a solo trip or whether the conditions and location over there would be appropriate for Junior Flyreel's first boondoggle adventure. We'll see.
I think that it's a good site. I don't know if you've seen the pictures that Chuck posted today.
I have not today, no.
Yeah, he posted up about 35 pics. We got putt-putt. We got all kinds of stuff over there, man. It's pretty family-friendly site, and the area looks good. Of course, you know, we fished on the north end of the island there in the lagoon last time we were there, doing a little T-bowing there in front of the NASA sign. But, it looks like a lot of fun. So I look forward to it, and we've got a lot of interest, and I think we'll see a great deal of folks show up for it. It is, I mean, it's a really nice opportunity. Cars Park, up until recently, was for NASA badge holders only. I mean, even as a retired military guy, I tried to get in there, and you had to have the NASA presence to be in there. But with the cutbacks in the economy and the cutbacks in government funding and stuff like that, so they're opening up, and they're also doing something that they don't normally do, which is actually take reservations and make to ensure that everybody that shows up will have a spot to pitch a tent or their RV. So if you haven't called in, I mean, I would certainly at least there's no charge right now to get a spot. It's just call Christine there, and what's the number here? 321-867-7967. 321-867-7967. And 7967. Christina at Cars Park. And just let her know that you want to get on the list for a camping spot for the Boondoggle. And she will do it. I think she's getting a real kick out of looking at caller IDs and seeing where all of the area codes are from, because we got a heck of a lot of them. And Matt has put it up in the chat room there for us, 321-867. That should be, is it 9767? 7967. You got it backwards. A little dyslexia there. But anyways, so get that done, and we're hoping on getting some more info out. One of the things that has been asked of us that we call in, make sure that we get our spots reserved. They want to know how many people are there. We're working on getting some maybe some vendors out there to take care of us, because it is going to be a rather good haul back into town there. So, but we want to make sure that everybody has a great time. There we go. Anyways, let's see. I see Tommy Head Jigs in the chat room. Hello to him. He's a neighbor just across the road here in the ATL. Bonita Bob has joined us. Welcome aboard. A few guests in there. If you're joining us for the first time, you can hit the login button and log in with your Twitter or Facebook account, and or just do a quick login there, and you can join us in the chat room. Otherwise, you just get to sit, listen, and watch the goings on there. But anyways,
I don't know if you heard, Chip, but Bonita Bob is a brand spanking new pro staff member at yakangler.com.
Oh, really? Awesome. Welcome aboard.
He's Bonita Bob is the man.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob was next door to us there at Chuckalowski in the cabins, i.e. in the trailer system there. But good guy. Jim's in there, too. Another local from the Southwest area there. I see Haywood has joined us now in the chat room. Maybe he'll get to. He said, barring any bad luck and oil pump failures, he was going to try to make it over to see us at the Boondoggle. So look forward to seeing him fishing with that guy again. But so, Greg, man, what have you been up to? Have you had a chance to get out on the water? I know I saw the pictures from Robert's birthday fishing extravaganza there. That looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a good time. We got out and did a little snook fishing, or a little fishing out in the bay, and beat up on the snook one morning. Did the slam in 2/3. Robert just could not find a trout to save his life. Couldn't find a snook, rather. Sorry, just couldn't hook up on him. We were in the middle of him, just couldn't find one. But he was close. So we've done that. We've had a couple of Heroes on the Water trips since the last time I've been on, and that's always a terrific thing. And Robert gets out with me on those and has really, really picked up on participating and helping out with the Heroes on the Water events. Not just going out and fishing, but really in working with the vets. And last time he really proved his worth out there. We had we're fishing Fort DeSoto, and a couple Marine and his caretaker, older folks, your age, Chip, had gotten out into one of the faster races on an outgoing tide and found themselves out in the Gulf, and paddled back in against the tide. And when she turned to look for him, he wasn't there. So she was tired, dehydrated from paddling back in. I gave her some water, Robert had a radio in his boat. I sent him back towards the launch, keeping station with the young lady who was headed back in, and had him taking care of her and bringing her back to the launch with a radio.
Uh-huh.
And I headed out to look for the Marine and bring him back. Found him. He was okay. Just took a different route, got separated, and wasn't really sure where he was headed. But it was good to have Robert along as the center point relay, and again to escort the other kayaker in. So
awesome.
He did an amazing job for a 10-year-old. Kept his head about him, and really did some strong work out there. So that was a good thing.
Awesome. Showing some skills already, man. That's great. Hello to area code 863. Good evening. You're on Kayak Christian Radio.
Well, good evening.
Well, we're so glad you could join us. Long time. It's like reunion night here
old
with
home
Mr.
Week.
Becker. Yeah, old home week.
Yeah, it's old invalids week.
How you doing, Bill? Bill Howard, a.k.a. Haywood. How are you this evening, buddy?
I'm doing better.
I saw some pictures of you fishing, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we went out Saturday, and I don't know. It was karma something. Somebody was looking down over my shoulder because the light switch flipped on, and we couldn't keep the fish off the topwater lure. It was crazy.
See there, man, you're doing something. You're living right, man, because that is
I must have done something right because it, I mean, it was perfect. We didn't have to paddle far. The water, there was very little wind. There was nobody else around. And it was literally almost every cast we were getting blow-ups. And they weren't big fish. They were 20, you know, anywhere from 20 to maybe 28. We did have some bigger ones blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one after the other, after the other, after the other. It was crazy.
Oh, that sounds fun, man. Was
I mean,
it like...
I've been fishing here in Florida for a very, very long time, since the fifth grade. So, do the math, I'm 50. You know, that's a long time. And I can never recall
a day like
a
that.
Day. Probably because my memory's so bad, but it's hard for me to look back and think of a day like we had Saturday.
That's cool, man. And
it's
that,
really good to see the snook.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, even though they're little, they're going to grow up, and there was a bunch of them.
That's right. So we're just keeping our fingers crossed for kind of a mild winter so we get through another mild winter and
yeah,
the fishery will be nice.
We need one more mild winter this year. And then, you know, I think it's still going to take a while, but if we have one more mild winter and a closed season on the West Coast, I think we'll be getting back in good shape.
Start seeing some of them big old monster snook.
Well, you know, we saw some big ones this spring. And I was surprised because, you know, in Tampa Bay, on my side of the bay, it was bad. But this spring, I was really surprised at the number of 30-inch and plus snook that were being caught. You know, it was definitely an increase over the year before, you know. But it's still, you know, I've talked to a lot of my friends that have fished here all their lives, and we still didn't see the spawners at the spawning areas this year again.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's still a little troubling.
Yeah, that's a little trouble because I know from wildlife ecology work in the good old days there, you know, you lose that breeding generation and it takes a while to build that stock back up. So that's one of the reasons, at least what I've read, is the reason that they're playing around so much with the red snappers because they believe they've got a missing generation in there and they're trying to let it build up. So, but that's certainly probably the case with the snook and that big frost that we had. What was that, 3 years ago now?
About 3 years ago, and it was 13 days of freezing temperatures. When it was 45 in Key West, you know it was cold.
Yeah, man. And those fish just don't deal with that very well.
Nope.
It was a terrible sight to see those big fish kills. All right, he's been hanging on hold long enough. I'm going to go ahead and let him in. It's Redfish Chuck. I thought you were in concert tonight up in Virginia somewhere, man.
Yeah, we're on break right now, actually.
Oh, okay, you know. Cool. Just coming in between sets and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I got to rest the pipes, man.
How are you tonight, Chuck? Yeah. Cool. Well, my first day of the Boondoggle was my typical first day, and I didn't get to do much fishing because I was, you know, being the social butterfly, and I took my pop with me. We had three generations of Gibsons at the Boondoggle, so it was the clone, myself, and my pop, and he just walked by a couple seconds ago to say hi. But keeping everybody rounded up, plus the wife, you know, Sam went out there with us, and she was enjoying herself out on the water. And but the second day was where I had a lot of fun. We went back into a little cove area called Rudy Inlet, and I was working on a double slam, but I could not find the flounder. Brad, Adam's buddy, sitting right next to me, was pulling flounder in, and I'm catching trout and redfish, and it's like I had the same bait and everything, but he's pulling in the flounder, but I couldn't find him. So, but I had a good time. That was a lot of fun. Wife caught some fish, did her own catch, release, picture, all that good stuff, man. She did it. It was really fun. But we had a good time. And let's see what we got. Oh, man, they're looking at frost up north. So the guys are getting some frost back up there in Jersey. And it'll be hard water up there for, let's see, joining us in the chat room, Eric Slappy Harrison and LGB. And, man, it's going to be cold. I don't do cold very well. I'm a warm weather sports kind of person. I'm looking forward to getting back down. Actually, I'm going to do kind of a mini Boondoggle around Thanksgiving and take care of a little hospitality over at River Palms Cottages in Jensen Beach, and going down for the week of Thanksgiving, and maybe chase some snook around if they're still in the area. So what do you think of my chances there?
Oh, they'll be there.
Yeah? Cool. Let's see. Yeah. The boys from DOA catching them over there and stuff like that, so hopefully we'll be able
to... Roosevelt Bridge.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good spot right there. Mm-hmm. Actually, when we went for the paddlers tournament, there were snook sitting right off the little dock out there, man, but I think those are the pet snook. You're not allowed to mess with them, so...
Well, one year when we had the tournament down at the county park, which is just down the street from the River Palms, guy caught a 40-inch snook right under that pier.
At the River Palms pier?
No, at the county park.
Oh, okay.
He launched there, saw it, waited until he could, you know, lines in the water.
Uh-huh.
And first cast, caught it, and then that's all he caught all day long.
I would have been happy with that. I'd be
yeah,
happy with it.
Yeah, but he didn't, you know, the way they organize that tournament,
yeah,
there is no, you know, first place snook or first place trout.
Total inches.
Slam, and that's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good event. And folks who are listening in, if you're listening to the podcast, the Paddlers event is a tournament put on by DOA, the lure manufacturer. And it's usually, what is it? It's April, right?
I don't know, Chip. They move the date around on that thing. It's never the same date.
It's whatever they pick.
It's whatever,
right?
They look at the calendar.
You got to check their website. So when they throw it up there, it doesn't take long because they only take 100 entries. So it doesn't take long for them to book it up. I know that. I think when I got in, I was like number four, and I was like the second day that it was open. And then right after that, a couple of days later, they were full. So it's very popular. You have to use a box. You get a box, a tackle box with DOA lures, and that's all you're allowed to use for the tournament. But a lot of fun, some good folks down there. And I got mad skills when it comes to raffles, so I won a boat. So I was pretty happy for my first trip over there for the tournament. So, but anyways, so What's on the horizon, man? What do we got going for fishing right now? So, Bill, you're saying everything's looking cool in your area. Pretty good action going on there. Some topwater stuff.
Everything. Yeah, the water's coming down in temperature. It's getting right in that, you know, that sweet zone. Everything's firing up right now.
Yeah? So you're seeing the snook, redfish, trout?
Yeah.
Any tarpon still rolling around?
Yeah, there's still tarpon out there. But actually, you know, they're tarpon here year-round. You just got to know where to look for them.
You got to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one time I went over there for a guided trip with a on a motorboat, we went back to that, what is it? It's a little port area. You have to have a permit to get inside of the zone and stuff and to call in on the radio, and they let us in.
You probably went into Port Manatee.
Yeah. And back in there. And, man, there were a lot of big tarpon rolling around. That's some deep water back in there. And
yeah,
a lot
it's
of
a
tarpon.
Pretty deep channel.
Yeah. And we chased some tarpon around trying to get the clone on one, but couldn't make that happen. But we did have a good time with some snook a little bit later in the day. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the clone's first snook was a 30 incher, so he was pretty happy with that one. So, but and Greg, you said Robert couldn't find a snook the other day for his birthday.
No, could not.
That's,
and of course,
that's,
it didn't. Yeah, it didn't help that I was standing, you know, 10 feet away from him, throwing the same lure in the same spot, catching them one after the other. It was kind of comic.
It's just too funny, man, because, like I said, it was the same way with me and Adam's friend Brad there when we were at the Boondoggle. Throwing the same thing, just maybe a boat length apart. And he's pulling in flounder, and I'm pulling in trout and redfish. And it's like, all I need is one, and I get my slam. So, but it was fun, and fishing is fun. That's what we're supposed to do, right? So I've got to see the – everybody's been talking about the Boondoggle, but one of the things that was kind of cool was Woody Calloway from Native joined us there, and he brought in some boats. I did not get the opportunity to play with the Mariner, but I did get a chance to paddle the new Slayer, the Cuda Slayer. But very similar boats. However, I did not turtle the Slayer as I did on Chuck's Cuda. So, but Chuck had the seat up in the high position, and my big gourd, you know, once up there, it didn't take much to flip me over. So, but the Cuda is a nice boat. In fact, my wife actually took it out for a little paddle around the little launch site there at Lynn Haven. And she got out there, paddled around, and stood right up in it. Very stable boat. Looks like an interesting boat coming out. So all these boats now with these lawn chairs on them, it's very, you know, competition is heating up for your dollar there. So... But I'd be interesting to see that was the Slayer 12, the 14. I don't know if he had one there or not. But it was kind of an interesting boat. Yaksushi got to spend the day fishing out of it. So interesting boat. Yeah, gotta love that lawn chair, man. So, but it was fun. And Woody is good people there from Native. So, Bill, are you still fishing out of that Malibu? That what is that? The Ranger?
No, the Ranger's in the garage. It's just too big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a singles kayak. It was not very well designed. It's too big.
A lot of freeboard on
one person.
Yeah.
You could easily convert it to put an electric motor, trolling motor on it, and that would suit it much better.
Kind of, that'd be your pre-fishing boat, you know, for a tournament. Put your trolling motor on that, take it out there, man, and find where the fish are, and the next day paddle out in your regular boat, right? So.
Yeah, depending on a few things, I'm waiting for some word out of California, and I've got my eye on something else, maybe. So I don't know.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I look.
Can't talk about it right now until I know what's going on. So
understand. So that's a little tidbit there. We'll look forward to seeing something from you. But I do know that there is something by way of wilderness that Chad Hoover was had at the Boondoggle. So I don't know what it was. I didn't get to see it, but he supposedly there's some kind of new prototype going around from wilderness. So interesting little gossip there. But Bill, I got to ask you something because you use Finn's braid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I put Finn's braid. I had it on two of my reels, and I had the wind tamer. And, dude, it was just wearing me out with wind knots. I mean, and the wind was – it was howling. I don't know. Rob, were you guys in the wind on Saturday?
It was a little bit breezy, yeah.
And Chuck, when you guys got out, it was still breezy too, right?
Yeah, it was nasty.
Yeah. So,
but I wasn't using my rigs.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, my stuff is like inshore, you know, 20-pound stuff. And we were out on the bridge with Kevin and Rob Choi. And, you know, they use like broomsticks with like, you know, miniature winches on them, you know. So I didn't get to test any of the fins. But I was getting some, I just have the regular fins on my inshore stuff. And I was getting some wind knots in it, see on Sunday, and it wasn't even windy. So I don't know. Maybe it was just me, user error or something.
I don't know.
What were you using before?
PowerPro.
I used to use PowerPro, but I got wind knots with that stuff too.
Okay, so it's not the line.
It's not the line,
I'm
right?
The reason why people get wind knots is the design of the spool on their reel, and I'm gonna get some information and get it up on Yak Angler. I had a well-known, I won't mention his name now, but it was a well-known TV personality, fishes a hell of a lot more than any of us, explain why, you know, what happens when you get a wind knot, and it has to do with how the spool is designed and how the line comes back on the spool.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to know some of that. Let me know when you get some of that information, because, I mean, I don't think it's the line either. It's what happens with me is I think that I get, like, line twist in there because it just happens, you know, I'll be fine for a while, and then all of a sudden, it's like I get a wad, you know, flying off there. And, I mean, I'm good about it. I check it. I feel it, you know. I don't feel loops there. I'm always looking at it, everything. And, you know, if I see a loop there, I'll just pull it off until I get down to it, pull it out, and it's good. Well, you know, I'll go and cast, and it's just like a big just wad goes firing off of it. And
well,
I think I just get line twist in there, and, you know, I just have to re-spool every so often or something. I don't know exactly what causes it.
Here's what I found with a reel that claimed, and I'm making the air quotes, you can't
okay.
see them, that the design of the reel prevented wind knots. Okay? I think... you know, it was called the wave spin.
Yeah.
Okay. I tested those for several months, and I was getting just horrendous wind knots.
On a wave spin?
Yes.
Wow.
And I took them back, and the owner, and, you know, I'm not going to mention his name because it's all water under the bridge. You know, first he told me that I wasn't spooling it right when I first put the line on. Then I was using the wrong rod, and then I was casting wrong. but the problem was that the shims were incorrect, and the spool was not in the proper position for the bale. So you had a gap at the top and the bottom, and what would happen was the line would come on, and then it would roll over into that gap, and then it would become loose. And then as soon as you cast it, you've got that loose line, and it just, you know, everybody's had it. So it has to do with how your, you know, how your spool is, first of all, made, and, you know, it could be shimmed incorrectly, and that could, but I will get this information as soon as I can and get it out, because, you know, how he explained it to me made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And what I notice is, you know, if your line does not come back on to your spool tight, you're going to get it no matter what you use.
Right.
Yep.
Now, what I've noticed with the Wind Tamer is, you know, I'll still get a few every once in a while, but they're not nearly as bad as when I was using Power Pro. Mm. And you can usually just, you know, pull them right apart and that's it.
Right.
Well, but another thing that I do, and you can do it in a kayak, is every so often I will just take my lure or the hook or whatever's on there, clip it off, and start paddling and start feeding line out and keep paddling. Pretty soon you got all that line out. You notice your rod's bent over like you're trolling a 50-pound weight because all that line's creating drag. And I'll try to keep paddling, and I'll start to reel that in with that pressure. And that re-spools your line back on there nice and tight and even.
Yeah.
How often do you do that?
I'll do it every so often. But, you know, now another trick is that I spool all mine myself, and I'll run my line from the brand new spool of braid through a phone book. Get the thickest yellow pages you can find and run it right through the middle of that phone book. And then that creates enough tension on there to keep that line tight as you reel it on your spool.
Right.
You'll find that that'll help too.
Well,
that's a great idea.
I can tell you that I've probably talked to the same person you did, Bill, about the idea behind why wind knots happen, and I agree with you that there is a lot of, it does make a lot of sense. I fish with a few different people who are wind knot-aholics. They must love wind knots because they're always getting them, constantly getting them. And I know exactly why they get them, and it's very simple because I watch the way that I finish a cast, and I watch the way that they finish a cast. And especially when you're throwing into the wind and you've got all that extra braid just blowing around in the air, when you snap the bale over and just start cranking up all that slack and you're not keeping any kind of tension on it whatsoever, as you said, you're adding loose line into the spool, and then your very next cast, that loose line comes off, and it just comes off in a wad. To me, that's the answer right there. I mean, because I rarely ever get wind knots, like really, truly, honestly, not even joking around. I think I got the first wind knot I've had in almost a full year, not at the Boondoggle, but a fishing trip just prior to that. And I know exactly why I did it, and that's exactly what happened. I threw a topwater plug into the wind, had way too much slack, and I just spun the handle,
yep.
Closed, you know, used the handle to close the bale, didn't use my finger to pull that line tight, and just reeled on top of it. And the very next cast, it all came off in a big ball. So, yeah, I mean, and you know, I've used fins, I've used Power Pro, I've used Suffix, I've used even Jerry Brown, I've used Lemoy Diamond, I've used a lot of different kinds of braid. and so have some of the guys I fish with. And I don't really think that it's braid specific. I know a lot of folks have issues with Power Pro or what have you, but like the Wind Tamer to me feels like it's actually stiffer than traditional braid, which would make sense. It'd be more like a monofilament in that respect, that it has that kind of that stiffness about it, to where it's not gonna, you know, come off quite as loosely as that light Power Pro or light Mamoy or whatever. But yeah, Wind Knot suck for sure whenever you do get them. But like I say, Chris Flores is notorious for Wind Knots, and he always turns to me and looks at me and he's like, "Hey, what did I do wrong?" I'm like, "The same thing you always do wrong. You don't close the bail with your hand rather than using the reel to do it, and you're picking up a lot of, you know, super loose line rather than tight line." So at least that's what I think. Whatever.
I have noticed one thing too with the Wind Tamer and all the fins braid is that it's really quiet. You don't get that annoying whiny noise when your drag's peeling off that you do with Power Pro.
That squeaky noise, yeah.
Yeah, it drives me crazy to hear that.
I don't know. That means you got a fish on. It works, man. But
so I mean, it's clearly, you know, when I used a reel, and I'm making the air quotes again, that is designed to eliminate wind knots, and I've got the picture. I'll dig the picture up if I can, because I kept them all. I kept every one of the wind knots, and I brought them with me, and I gave them to the owner of the company. I said, "Here you go. You can have these, and you can have the reels back because they're crap." And, you know, of course, it was all my fault, and then later I found out that, oh, they were shimmed wrong, and I never got an apology, but that's okay. I don't care. So.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I have to try that because I do know that a couple of times, well, the clone and my pop were just tearing up the wind knots. I mean, in fact, if you recall my super duper bird's nest that I had on my Shimano Corrado at the lagoon,
you know,
there.
I still have that video. I'm keeping me and I looked at it the other day. I was like, "Hey, what's this video?" Oh yeah.
It is pretty impressive.
But no, I had this huge one, man, that was just killer, and my pop and Brad both got one this past weekend on a spinning reel. I mean, it was crazy, the bird's nest that they were able to achieve, but I believe it was totally because they're casting into the wind, getting those big wind bellies in their line, you know, in that light line,
yeah.
And then just snapping a bail over and reeling it in, you know, without putting any tension on it. And the trick that you said about, you know, letting the line out with nothing on it, you know, and just dragging it behind it. But, man, that was something we always did on the powerboat when we were coming back into port. We'd take all of our reels and cut the leaders off of them and just let them all drag behind the boat, because it would never fail. You'd always take somebody out who would get a fish on, you know, a bonita or something, and they'd reel against the drag forever, you know. So you knew the line was just twisted up on it. So even with mono, it helped to let it drag behind the boat and then pull them back in. It would get it nice and tight back on the reels before you had to re-spool them all again. But
now there's going to be something coming out next year. And a lot of the rod manufacturers, and I can't remember the exact terminology for it, but they're putting the micro guide inside of your first big guide that's the closest guide to your reel. And that is, some of them are kind of shaped like a cone,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are a little offset from the center of your big guide. But supposedly the idea is that it shrinks the oscillation coming off your reel and shoots the line through the guides much smoother, and it eliminates, you know, it'll eliminate line or tip wrap. Because I'll get tip wrap if I try to really whip it real fast. I have to do my casts, I have to make smooth. I kind of relate it to a golf swing. It's smooth acceleration. You know, you just real smooth and powerful all the way through. And this is supposed to, you know, increase distance and cut down on tip wraps and wind knots and what have you. And it was talked about a little bit last year, and I thought, nah, it's just a gimmick. And the same person that I talked to about the real problems and stuff has tested them, and he says, yeah, it works. So I'm not sure what they call those, but
you're not going to believe this, but it's on the wave guide. It's the wave spool wave guide.
Well, yeah, he started it, but
yeah.
Wright McGill's going to be doing it, and there's a couple other manufacturers that are, you know, are doing it also. So
yeah, you can. It's on the front page of Mudhole. The microwave line control system, American Tackle is putting them out right now, and it's got that the first eye that you put on a spinning rod or whatever. It's got that it's kind of like a little spiral thing with a smaller eye inside of it, and makes a cone come out of it. But you can
I don't know any
on commercial rods yet though.
Because I can tell you about one side of a warehouse that's just stacked to the ceiling with returned reels. So
it's on commercial rods now, Chip.
Yeah,
Castaway. Castaway Rod Company has them on their rods already, and there's another one. I forget who it is. I saw it at a tackle shop here in Titusville the other day.
Yeah, have you tried one yet?
No, I'm not a believer in it, brother. If Fuji isn't going to jump on it, then I don't believe it. there's a lot of that kind of thing that comes out, and whether or not it works or not, I've always been a Fuji Guide fan. I think that they're revolutionary in the industry, and you know, if they haven't come out with one or something similar to it, then I'll let somebody else spend their money and figure it out because.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It's a gimmick to me, but whatever. It'll work. I don't know.
You're so hot.
My buddy's got one, man, and he's in one of those Castaway rods, and he was like, I guess it works.
Yeah.
How do you know? I mean, how can you tell that you get much better casting distance out of that out of something else because it's two different rods and two different actions and two different, you know, guide sets and weights and the whole thing, so it's really tough to tell, but.
I saw somebody at the Boondoggle with a casting rod that had the micro guides on it, and it looked so bizarre, man, because you couldn't see the guides on it, and it's just like you're just swinging a stick out there, you know? Those little bitty tiny guides on there—that's crazy. I'd ruin one in a heartbeat, man. Like I busted one on my casting rod this weekend because I put a swivel on. I was fishing with a little knocker rig for trying to get the flounder, and reeled that swivel right up into the damn first eye and busted it. So I got to refix it. So, anyways, let's see. In the chat room, great discussion. The guys are kind of following along. Slappy's in there, mm-hmm. and he's talking about spiral wraps. He builds his rods. And he's spiral wrapping his rods, but he's talking that he rarely uses spinning tackle, so he's using conventional rods and stuff. Tommy Head Jigs saying he hasn't experienced any wind knots. He uses a Fluger President and a carrot stick. Slappy also agreed that only Fuji guides go on his rods, that he doesn't think anything else works. So 50 pound lines and small guides, I'd just bust them up, man. So anyways, spiral wrapped rods, fewer guides. If you're not familiar, if you're listening to the podcast or whatever, spiral wrap guide is where you start in a conventional manner with the guides on top for a conventional rod, and then they work their way around so that it's upside down. It's on the other end of the rod by the time you get out to the tip of the rod. You ever fish with one of those, Chuck?
Yeah.
Yeah? You got a spiral wrap?
And I'll be the first one to admit that when that all first started, I was definitely like, you guys are high on something.
What are you smoking, but, right?
Yeah, but no, actually, if you conventional fish, I have never heard of anyone doing it on a spinner rod, and I don't really think that the spinning rod is the issue. But the reasoning behind the spiral wrap rod originally was to get rid of the torque that you have in the reel when you go to crank up big fish off the bottom. I've seen guys put them on trolling rods or build trolling rod sets before, and to me it just, it is what it is. I don't know. It doesn't make sense for that application, but for grouper fishing, amberjacks, big bottom fish, whatever, definitely, for sure. I'm sure you've had an experience catching something big on the bottom and that reel just wants to kick to one side or the other on you. And with the spiral wrap rod, it definitely doesn't do that at all.
Keeps it kind of locked in there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so awesome discussion, guys. Just about to the top of the hour here. Bill, it's good to have you back on board, man. You got plans for the weekend? You going to try to go out again while it's getting this hot?
Yeah, me and Mr. Becker and Junior Becker are going to head out and do a little fishing and a little picture taking. I got a ton of crap that I'm working on, man. I've been writing every night this week, so trying to catch up, get ahead of the game.
Very cool. It's good to see you back on the water, man. Look forward to seeing more of your pictures, man.
Yeah.
Hey, good to have you back up, Bill.
Yeah, it feels good to be back out there. It's day to day, you know. One day I feel good, the next day I don't. So.
Right. Well, let's hope that you're feeling good around February 15th through the 18th. So,
I want to see you again.
Definitely want to see you again and see you out there fishing with us. So, Rob, are you still there?
Yo,
man, you kind of got lost in the shuffle of the wind knot things, but
listening.
Yeah, no, it was a great discussion. What's your game plan for the weekend, man? You going back out or you? You got a lot of chores.
Yeah, last time I was out, we got some pretty good trout, and there was redfish everywhere, tailing, and we were running over them in the kayaks and everything else, you know, just kind of drifting across the flat. But I couldn't get them to eat, you know. I mean, I'd see a tailing red, you know, within casting distance and throw past him and in front of him with a topwater and no dice.
Huh.
I don't know why. You know, we threw everything that we could at him.
Because he's tailing, Rob.
What's that?
Because he's tailing. You don't throw a topwater at a tailing fish.
Sure you do. A lot of times that works really well when they got their heads down in the grass and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Listen, next time you see a tailing redfish, take yourself one of your soft plastic baits and drop it on his head, and you 90% of the time he'll eat it. You got to understand. When the redfish are tailing like that, a lot of times their eyes are buried in the grass. They're completely oblivious to everything else that's going on around them. So when you work your topwater plug past them, they have no clue what's going by their head because they're so focused on what they're looking at.
But I thought the noise might work on them. But obviously, that was just one thing. I mean, I was throwing soft plastics and other stuff, you know. But next time I'll bust out the gulp.
There you go. Dead sticking.
There you go. You know what? I want some of the big, giant gulp that Kayak Kevin was using out at the bridge, man.
Oh, man. You should have seen some of that stuff, Chip. They're throwing
I saw
like
it. The one that was like half the size of a stinking redfish.
Yeah, 4-ounce jig head and like a gulp that was like, it was huge. Gulp curly tails, man.
I'm gonna bring some spoon doggle, man. Go after them big drum with it.
Jean like needed a new arm when she got back in after those 2 days jigging one of those giant broomstick rods with like 4-ounce weight, you know, jig head on it.
I won't put any weight on the head though, because I want to be able to throw that sucker at a fish, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I guess if you put the 4-ounce jig head on, if you got a rod big enough to cast that rascal, you could hit him in the head and knock him out.
There
All right,
go.
Man. Well, you have a good time and get some fish up this weekend, man.
I hope so. I got a lot of I got a lot of video stuff to do too.
All right, we look forward to seeing some of that. And Matt says, let's see, yeah, Matt says he's got a video for you.
Awesome.
So, Mr. Becker, so you're going out with the Haywood and the little fly reel.
That is the plan.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we'll get out there and paddle around a little bit, see if we can find some of the fish.
Awesome. We'll keep at it, and we'll be back down soon enough to get together and do some fishing. We have to. I don't know if we're going to catch it before the end of the year, but certainly we need to get back to Cedar Key and go after some of those stone crab again.
Well, if we if we want to go up for the opening day of muzzleloader season, I just happen to know when that is, so
yeah.
we could make that again.
That's true. That's right. So, all right, man. Well, good to hear you again, and welcome back onto the show. Look forward.
Yeah, thanks
to,
for having me on, Chip. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Tight lines. Tell Robert we said hey.
Will do.
All right. Chuck?
Yo.
You're a busy man these days.
Jeez. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You do know.
Yeah. I know. You're calling me. Dude, I'm sorry I had to cut you off short today, but I had a meeting I had to get into. But
No worries, man. No worries.
And I thought we would just take a break from Boondoggle Talk tonight. So get a little bit at the beginning of the show and a little bit here at the end, but... It was good to have a little change of action there, talking about wind knots and stuff. So,
yeah, I'm going to try not to talk about Boondoggle at all during my show on Monday. But
actually, you know what we got for your show on Monday?
What?
Dude, the results of the Kayak Angler's Choice Award.
Ah, sweet.
We are tallying the votes as we speak, and we should have them all ready to go. So Monday evening, the Monday night kickoff show, Redfish Chuck will be announcing the winners of the Kayak Angler Choice Awards 2012. How's that for you, bud?
That's pretty awesome, man. I appreciate that honor. That's really cool.
So you got a subject for your show.
I do, and I have a couple of people calling from around the state with some fisher reports as well that'll be later on in the show. But this weekend, we've got a couple of tournaments here locally. The Hunt for Reds in October is going on, which is a spot tournament. I may go over there, just kind of check it out, watch the weigh-in, whatever. I do want to try and get on in a motor zone if I can at all this weekend. Chris, by the way, just for you trout lovers or spec people, as you guys call them in Virginia and up north, Chris took his wife, Melissa, for about an hour and a half to the no motor zone at Carr's Park this evening. They caught two trout over 20 inches and several other smaller trout and saw a couple of redfish, I guess, but didn't have a chance to get them. So, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty encouraging. I know the fish are there. It's not going to be an issue. But that's pretty much all I got, man. I don't know. I'm going to try to get Trey out with me. See if we can
awesome.
Put him on the slot.
That's great.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you. Go catch some fish. Get some shouts. Go catch some shouts for us.
Yes, some shouts.
All right. All right, well, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Chuck, we'll talk to you later. And Monday night, don't forget the results show. Kayak Angler's Choice Award 2012. We'll all be there. Don't miss it. And everybody in the chat room, Tommy Head Jigs, Matt, Arlie, Jim Van Pelt, Hammerhead, Greg Chris, the guest, LGB. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Tight lines, everybody. And take a kid fishing.